One this morning, and we return to the book of Revelation. And so, if you will, turn to Exodus, Exodus chapter 19.
19, did you say?
Yes. Now, I told you last week that chapter 11 was the end of Revelation. And you know now why I say that. Because the seventh trumpet sounded, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Well, when that happens, guess what? The Revelation is over. He's revealed, and it's all over. But now we begin another segment of it. And it gives you more details of what we've covered in the first 11. And so that's where we begin this morning with chapter 12, but we begin in chapter 19 of Exodus. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Ephraim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt say to the house of Jacob. Now, I've said this to you several times. Israel is known by three names. Jacob, Israel, Judah. And one name incorporates them all. Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. But Zion refers to Israel. And Jacob refers to the beginning of Israel when there was how many tribes? 12. Israel and Judah break that up into two. 10 and two. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Therefore, if you will obey my voice, keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure. Isn't that what he refers to children of God today who are born again through Christ? We're peculiar people. We're precious people. We're different people. You know, peculiar means you're a little different. Not weird. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Isn't that what he says about us? That he hath made us kings and priests unto God. And an holy nation or holy people. The word nation just means peoples. See, that tells me this. It doesn't make any difference if I'm male or female, if I'm English or Hispanic, or if I'm white or black, or if I'm from Europe or Africa or from Asia. It does not matter. If we go God's way, obey His covenant, His command. What's His command? Neither is there any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is in any language, my friend. And it doesn't matter. So even though this is a covenant with the Jewish people, it bears to us. Because when he came unto his own and his own received him not, guess what happened? He said, I'll go to the Gentiles. But then what did he say? I'll give them a certain amount of time. I'm paraphrasing now. I'll give them a certain amount of time, and then I will turn back to Israel, my chosen nation. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Soon, maybe in my lifetime, I don't know. Soon, this world is going to know. What God says is what God says. And it might be a little nation, because he says, look, I didn't choose you because you were a big nation. I chose you because you were a small nation. And he chose a small nation so that they would know he's a great and big God. And soon, all these haters of Israel are going to know that they're his chosen nation. Mark it down. You can count on it. Now, and you shall be unto me a king of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and before their face all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will. How long did that last? And Moses returned the word of the people unto the Lord. Now, if you look over at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. You say, Tom, what's this got to do with anything? I hope by now you know that it will have a big meaning here in just a little while. Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. How many times did you hear in the seven messages to the seven churches how it ended? Does anyone remember how each message ended? The same thing was said to every church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Folks, look. You better hear this. You better believe this. You better live with it. You better die with it. This is the only thing that is true.
Right.
Nothing you hear is true. I could tell you this morning that I weigh 210 pounds. That's true when I got on the scale this morning. But I don't know that that's true. I could get on the scale out to VA and I guarantee you it won't say 210. But when this says I'm 210, I'm 210. I don't care where you step on the scale. That's how true it is. So he says this. My doctrine. Now the word doctrine there, it can have a positive or a negative. The word doctrine, I mean. Here it's positive because it means my instruction. Now in the negative, it can mean this. It means wows. Now, does anybody remember a verse in the Bible that uses the word wows? That we're to avoid the wows of the devil. That means his doctrine is not
true.
His doctrines are not instructional. Or it can mean I can hardly pronounce this word, so I'm going to try my best. Envelopment. Now that means to acquire by flattery or deceit. So Here's what I mean by that. How many denominations are there? You say, oh God, I can't count them all. How many doctrines are in those denominations? The Bible calls it the doctrines of men. And he says in his word, avoid it. Have nothing to do. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I was raised Free Will Baptist. Never knew anything else. And the Free Will Baptists had certain doctrines. I was saved in a Baptist church in Florida. Well, actually at a red light, but I was attending a Baptist church. They had certain doctrines. I've been to Methodist churches. They had certain doctrines. And I will tell you this. Not a one of them was worth a dime if you trusted in them. This is the doctrine, my friend. The Bible says this. There is but one doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. So I don't care if you go to a Free Will Baptist church. That's fine. I don't care if you go to a Baptist church. That's okay. I don't care if you go to a Methodist church. That's okay too. I don't even care if you go to a Catholic church. This better be your doctrine.
Right. Amen.
And I'll tell you one thing right now. If it is, you'll get run out of about every one of them now. You won't fit in. And here is that doctrine.
What verse are you on, Tom?
I'm going to 3.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Now remember who he's talking to. Who is he talking to here? Israel. This is his message to Israel. Remember he said, look, I brought you out of Egypt. I bore you up on the wings of an eagle and delivered you. And he says, here's the doctrine. Remember who I am. He is the rock. He is the rock. If he's not your rock, you're on sand, my friend. Your house is built on one of two things. Sand or rock, and put it down. The storm's coming. I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind, God being my witness this morning, that the pandemic was to see who's on a rock and who's on the sand. He is the rock. His work is perfect. We talked about that, didn't we? That's the standard. If you're not perfect, you're not saved. It's that simple. It's not hard. If you're not perfect, you're not meeting the standard. If you're not meeting the standard, you're not saved. Because you say, well, Tom, there's only one perfect person, and that's God. You'd be right. So what does that mean if you're perfect? That's where you're found. So he says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. What's that mean? Right. Are all your ways right? Well, then you're lost. If all your ways are not right, you're lost. You say, but Tom, I do wrong things. That ain't you. If you're in Christ, that ain't you. That's the flesh. If we don't understand that, folks, we're never going to understand what God's done for us. We're going to always be going around trying to live up in the flesh to some standard that we'll never live up to. But when we understand that as God is, we are in Christ. And we're right. What kind of garments does he say we'll have on when we come back with him? But what's the word used? Garments of righteousness. Righteousness. He says, I have clothed you in righteousness. We got to understand that's who we are, folks. If we don't understand that's who we are, we're never going to see the difference between acting in the flesh and acting in the spirit. We'll always be trying. Boy, I tell you, I just don't. Man, this life is so hard to live. The reason he's telling, this is his doctrine. This is what he does for us when he saves us. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without. How many of you are without sin this morning? Raise your hand. I'm raising mine. Bless God, you can raise yours if you want to. That's what he says he is. He's a God without iniquity. Well, if I'm in him, would you say there's any sin? That's why 1 John says, he says, they that are born of God do not commit sin. They cannot, it says. They cannot. Well, if God says you can't, I'm going to take that. He says they cannot because his seed remaineth in them. That's the doctrine, folks. That's why there's just one. Can't have more than one. Because no other doctrine can do that for you. No other person can do that for you or me. And he says this, they have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his. Now he's talking about them. That's who I am, and they're supposed to be mine, but they ain't. Because they're entirely different. Listen, that's the doctrine of Christ. That's the doctrine of God. That's the instructions that God gives out. And it was true then. And if you were here Wednesday night, the last verse that our pastor spoke was what? The last verse that he spake on Wednesday night was what? Somebody better answer. I'm going to tell him. For I am the Lord, and I change not. Well, if God doesn't change, do you think his instructions would change? Well, that wouldn't be right. That's why he says this. This is forever settled in heaven. Why? Because God doesn't change. And when he spoke something, it doesn't change. It's not up for change. But man tries to change it, don't he? We're doing our best to try to figure out some other way. But that's the doctrines of men. Now, look on down at verse 7. He says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. There's a verse in the Bible that says this, stand ye in the ways. So what's the first thing he's telling you to do there? So what does that mean? Well, give me another word for stand. Don't be moving. Stay right. Stop. Stop going where you're going and stand. Remember what Moses said to him at the Red Sea? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You can't see it unless you stop. So he says, stand ye in the ways. And A-S-K. Ask. Stand ye in the ways and ask and see. Ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way. And when you find them, not them, when you find it, see, because when he started out, he said, stand ye in the ways. That's plural. That means man's got different ways of going here. You know, they're going different directions. He says, see, and ask for the old paths. The word old there means eternal. Ask for something that's going to last you for eternity. Ask for the old paths. And when you find them, what does he say to do? Walk therein. Is that not salvation? Check where you are. First stop. Check where you are. Ask for something else. And when you find something else, because he says, if you seek, ye shall. If you ask, it shall. And if you knock, so you know, if you do what he says, it's going to come out good for you, right? But you know the sad ending of that verse? So sad. He was talking to Israel there. You know what their response was? But they said, we will not walk therein. Folks, the world is full of people today who refuse to stand still and see and ask. And when they find it, walk in it. The world is full of people saying, we won't do it. That's his doctrine. That's his instructions. It's not going to change. You'll either do what he says, or we'll see the end results at some point. Probably not today, but we'll see it. All right, here's what he says. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, last time I checked, Israel was not a nation when Adam was born. Yet he separated, he said, I separate the sons of Adam according to Israel. That means this. That's the same thing as saying that the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God's plan was God's plan before you were ever born. God's plan for you was God's plan for you before you were ever born. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
That's who God is. You know, sometimes we forget who God is. We try to bring God down to our level and our way of thinking and our intelligent level. My goodness, we can't do it. Let's quit trying. Let's just start worshiping Him as who He is.
Right.
An amazing, powerful, holy, righteous, unchanging God. For the Lord's portion is His. For the Lord's portion, that is in verse 9, for the Lord's portion is His. Well, if it's unchanging, I guess they still are. Jacob is the lot of His. I got to tell you, folks, all you got to do is go read the end of Ezekiel, where each tribe is given their portion. Put it on a map. And all those fools over there that think they've got a country are in for a rude awakening. Because God's going to do what He told Israel to do to start with. You know what He told them to do, don't you? Now, when you go into the land that I've given you, get rid of all of them. You say, Tom, that's a terrible thing to say. I didn't say it. God said it. He said, get rid of all of them. I've given you the land. Get rid of them. They didn't. You see what mess. But one day God's going to say, well, I'm going to do what I told you to do. He's going to get rid of every one of them. And the land will be Israel's. Put it down. I don't care what blinking and nod says. I don't care what Netanyahu says. I say what God says. And to those remnant of Israel, every inch they'll own. Every inch. He found him in a desert land, talking about Israel, and in the waste howling wilderness. Now, if you don't get a spiritual message out of that, I can't help you. Because you see, I know when I pulled up that red light in 1982 February, that's where I was. You say, oh, Tom, you was in Winter Park, Florida, the red light. No, I was in a terrible place. I was in a place where I didn't know how to get out. But when the red light changed, I'm going to show you something. I hope you get it too. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him. Whew. I'm going to have me a little time here if y'all don't care. Amen. Because I can remember back. I've told you the story. I'm just telling you the financial part of it. I came up that highway, dead broke. I had given the lady the last $5 I had in my pocket. I owed Carter County Bank $40,000 and didn't have a dime. I owed $1,500 on a $500 car. But I obeyed a voice that said, you got to go home. You're now the apple of my eye. And my little wife turned to me crying as we come up the road. She said, what are we going to do? I'm out of job. You don't have a job. We owe all this money. I said, honey, for the first time, I'm not afraid. God's going to provide. How he's kept me.
Amen.
I love being the apple of his eye. Well, folks, that's just a small scale to how he feels about his people Israel. I've never been so torn up in all my life on how I should think. Part of me says, kill every one of them over there and don't stop till you do. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. Israel's going to pay a terrible, terrible price. God says they will. I don't say that. God says they will. They may not believe that. They're going to find out. But in the end, the remnant, the apple of his eye, oh, they're going to find out what it's like. They're going to realize what God had in store from the start. And I can believe right now in my own mind, I'm not trying to add to or take away from God's word. I wouldn't never do that. But I got to believe they're going to stand on the shores of Jordan and say, my goodness, why didn't we do this to start with? Just listen to God. And one day, when you stand on the shores of Jordan, and you will, just as I will, you'll say, why did it take me so long?
Yeah.
As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead them. And there was no strange God with him. No one else. No one else could have, no one else would have brought you to where you are at this very second.
Right.
If you're his child, if you're the apple of his eye.
Yes.
Now look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I got to hurry. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, I know it's not Christmas, in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. Do you see anything there? Does anything trouble you there? The king asked the very people that should know about the Messiah. And they did. They knew exactly where he'd be born. Here's three wise men comes from afar. Not F-I-R-E, but F-A-R. Three wise men come in there and say, we've come to see the king of the Jews. Well, you'd have thought that, said, brother, wait a minute, let me pack a few clothes here. I'm going with you. I've been waiting for years. Well, that's not what happened. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. Folks, that's the chief priests and the scribes saying that. But that's no different than someone sitting in this church this morning talking about Jesus that don't know him. Yet they're aware. You'd have thought they'd have made a mad dash down to where? Bethlehem. You boys say he's there. I'm going with you. But no. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Exactly what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and... What a liar. Because when they didn't return, and he was angry, he killed every male child to the age of 2 to try to rid Israel and the world of the king. You say, Tom, what in the wide world of sports has that got to do with Revelation chapter 12? Well, when I read it to you now, I won't have to say a word. You'll understand every single verse of it. Let's go over there and see. Chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Now, I forgot to read you one verse, and I'll tell you about it. It's in Genesis, and it's found where Joseph has his dream. You remember that? Joseph has this dream, and he had a sheaf, and his brothers had a sheaf, and he said, my sheaf was greater than your sheaf, and you came and bowed down to my sheaf. And boy, they hated him for that. But it didn't end there. It says, and I had a dream further. He says, I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars, and they made obeisance to me. And his father rebuked him and said, you mean your mother and I and your brothers will come and bow down to you? You remember the story. His brothers hated him. They threw him in the pit. He went to Joseph. He was. It turned out just like that, didn't it? But it was the description that's here. There's a description of the sun, the moon, and 11 stars. They represented what? Jacob. and the mother and the sons. The 11 of them. Why is it 11? Well, because Joseph had the dream. He's the 12th, but it's the 11 that was bowing, right? Remember that. That refers to Israel. Now listen. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of... So who's the woman? Starts with an I, the next letter's S, the next letter's R. The woman is Israel. See, because he says, I saw a great wonder. That wonder, the word wonder means significance, an indication, a sign, a verification. What you see is not a woman clothed with the sun and the moon and 12 stars, 12 crowns on her head. That's not what you're looking at. You're looking at the nation of Israel. So he says, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now that's the woman. You say, no, Tom, you got it wrong. Mary had the child. No, the child came through Israel, folks. Mary was just the mother. Mary was a Jew. The Messiah was always going to come through Israel. And now, and there appeared another wonder, another indication in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, when we get there, I'll show you those 3 things later on, the 7 crowns and all that, and the 7 heads and all that, and 10 horns and all that. And his tail shall drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the which was ready to be for to devour her as soon as it was born. Listen, if you don't think Herod was the instrument of the dragon or Satan or the devil, bless God, to get rid of the Messiah, you might as well go home. That's exactly what happened. That's what John saw. Well, let's read on. So we know we're talking about Israel, and we're talking about the great red dragon, but Israel's not the enemy of the red dragon. Who was the enemy? The child. The Messiah. That's who he wanted rid of. Because he knew without the Messiah, Israel wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. Okay, so he says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. Now listen, if you can't figure that out, see me later. With a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. He came, he died, he resurrected, and he ascended. And guess where he's at right now? He's at the right hand of the majesty on high, making intercession for you and I, and that's what that says. But now we get another picture. He says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that she should feed her there 1,260 days. We know that that's 3.5 years, right? And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Now all you got to do is go back and read Job. And it says, and there came a time when the sons of men, now, and so if you read it, you understand that the sons of men are, starts with an A, next letter's N, angels. So you know in Revelation or in Genesis chapter 6, where it talked about the sons of men looked on the daughters of men, you know that it was demonic angels, folks. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out. If you chase that word all the way through, each time you can see the context is always talking about angels, because he said he took a third of them with him. And they fought. And they lost. They ain't never going to win. Never. So they fought. And all of a sudden they were cast out of heaven. unto the earth. Who do you think is causing Israel all this trouble right now? It's not Hamas. It's not Hezbollah. It's not Iran. They're just instruments. They're just heads. Satan's persecuting Israel, folks. And who's allowing it? You better believe God is. Otherwise, they wouldn't have one day of trouble. But he says, oh, the day of great trouble's coming. I'm going to have to purge you. And it won't be fun. But it's coming. And that's what's happened here. Satan now is not up in heaven like when Job, when it said the sons of men came before God and Satan with them. And he said, and God said to Satan, Satan, have you thought about my servant Job down there? That he's a righteous man, a just man, a perfect man? Now that was God's view of him, right? What was Satan's? Oh, yeah, I hear you. But you take everything away from him, he'll curse you. God says, well, go take it. Don't you touch him. Go ahead, go take it. He took everything he had, his children, his possessions, everything he had. Satan shows up again. God says, have you thought about my servant Job down there? He says, yeah. That's, but you touch his life. He'll curse you. God says, well, go on, do it. But you can't have his life now. You can touch him, but you can't have his life. He said, well, I can't. He said, what do you mean you can't? Well, you build a hedge around him. If you don't let me in, I can't do anything. Folks, we need to understand something. Not everything is good in this life. There's going to be some bad things come to you in your lifetime. But if you're a child of God, it ain't coming unless God allows it. And if God allows it, he said, I won't put more on you than you can stand, but I'm doing it for a reason. You're just going to have to trust me.
Amen.
So Job says, well, you got the hedge around him. God says, well, okay, I'll drop that hedge. We all know what happened. God's view was right about Job. Satan's view was wrong about Job. Satan lost that battle. Job won the battle. And at the end, Job had lots more than he started with. Well, let me tell you something. Boy, this is good, too. I got me a song this week. I'm going to learn it if I can. I call it heaven. Some call it, no, I call it home. I call it home. That's what I call it home. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Well, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven. I call it home.
Amen.
One of these days, I'm going to walk in. And I'm going to have a whole lot more than I've got now. Because of God's view of me. Because God's promise to me. I got to hurry. So he says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength. Why? Because Satan's cast out. He ain't there, so heaven's happy now. And I heard a great loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before day of God, day and night. That's the reason I told you about Job, because Satan was up there accusing. Well, he ain't up there accusing no more. He's been kicked out. And now he's down here as a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. And all that, billions of hordes of demons with him. So if you want to know who's causing the evil in this world, it's not God.
Right.
And by the way, Satan ain't here this morning and across town at another place at the same time.
Right.
Don't ascribe to Satan things that ascribe to God. God is everywhere at once. Mm-hmm. Satan's not. That's why he's got all these hordes. The Bible calls them principalities and powers of darkness and rulers in high places. That's who he's got. But you know what? Some of that third that got kicked out of heaven with him, they were so bad and are so bad that they had to be put away in prison in the bottomless pit. No different than us today. There are some criminals walking around. They're just petty thieves and stuff. But we got some so bad, we got to put them away in maximum security. We can't possibly let them out because they'd ruin everything. Well, that's the same thing here, folks. God's got the worst of the worst in that bottomless pit until such time as he gives the key over and it's opened. And it wouldn't be any different than if they opened every maximum security prison in this country today. It just unlocked the cells and says, boys, you're good. Wouldn't that be a fun place to live? Well, that's what's going to happen. So he says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who overcame him? Well, the remnant. The children of God. The people of God. The ones that believe in the blood of Christ and have a testimony. You'll see it in a second. He says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They didn't... He that loses his life for my sake shall gain it. But he that keepeth his life shall lose it. You know, we all want to live here. Well, the sad fact is this, we're not. We're going somewhere. And God says we're going to one or two places.
Right.
His children go to the barn. Satan's children go to the burn. You find that in the Bible, by the way. He takes the wheat into the barn. Young, come in. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. So who's rejoicing? The ones that dwell in heaven. You say, well, Tom, we ain't there. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. He says, for we have been made to sit in heavenly place. As far as God's concerned, brother, you're already there.
Amen.
So start rejoicing.
Amen.
That's who's rejoicing, the ones in heaven. Amen. We got a lot to rejoice about. But there's some that's not. For he says this, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil's come down unto you. I wrote me a little place. Matter of fact, I sent out a message alert. Run, your daddy's home. Oh, God, y'all don't remember that, you know. Mom would say, when your daddy gets home. Well, I put, better run, your daddy's home. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the
woman.
Who's the woman? Who's persecuting Israel today, folks? Is it Hamas? Now, I got to read on because I got something. Get that ready back there, by the way. And she was nursed time and half. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a, say that loud. That's in verse 15. Flood. After the woman. Put her up, brother. 2 days ago, this was on TV. The Aquasa flood is just the first time. There will be a second, a third, and a fourth. 2 days ago. Same words. You know what the flood is. Satan's going to send them out after Israel. But you'll see later on, he's going to draw them in like frogs to a place called Armageddon. And bless God right there at Armageddon, they're going to find out who the apple of his eye is. And one day, oh, bless God, we'll walk into a place called heaven and we'll realize without this vile flesh we live in, we're the apple of his eye. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See you. done.